and not so many things here below. Our tendency is to look down and to look around when we need to look beyond and look up. I'm here to tell you, what's out ahead for us cannot be described. There is a sure hope. There is a certain destiny. You go to looking back, there ain't nothing back there. But when you go to looking ahead, oh, how glorious it is. I thank him and praise him this morning. Help us to get our focus on heavenly things. It was said last night, I believe maybe Jordan said it, that, you know, people used to sing about heaven. But in this generation, we're more earthly minded. We don't have really any needs. We're not struggling like those that came before us. But I'm here to tell you, we need to get our eyes toward heaven and go to looking above for our help and our strength. Thank you, Brother Josh. Going to ask for you to stand a moment. We're fixing to have another message. I'm going to let you rest yourselves just a minute. I appreciate Brother Gary Blaylock. He pastors the Shining Light Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina. And I've been privileged to meet this man and to fellowship with him. I felt like he ought to preach for us this morning. And Brother Gary, you come on around. Preach what God's laid on your heart. They'll run the light for you. Amen. He'll have something to say. Now, you just don't sit there. You say, well, it's chilly this morning. Well, I'll tell you, if you go to waving your hand a little bit and get to stirring, it'll warm you up. Amen. But you listen while he brings God's message.
Thank
Love
you.
You can be seated.
Well, how many is glad to be in camp meeting this morning? I love camp meeting, don't you? You say, you better believe I love it. I wouldn't be here if I didn't. It is a little cool, but I'm so thankful, so glad for the opportunity to be here this morning. Brother Dagenhart and so many of these men that are here are my heroes, and I mean that in the whole true sense of the word. I think about Brother Hobbs, who got up last night, prayed a while, and for as long as I can remember, since I've been associated with some of these men, they've just been the same. I mean, I remember getting acquainted. He wouldn't remember this, but years and years ago in Louisville, North Carolina, I had heard Preacher Dagenhart for the very first time. This had to be in the 90s at the, I guess it was Bible Baptist Church. Brother Don Jones was the pastor. And I say this honestly, and I say it with all humility. I thought even then, and I even say it now, Preacher Hobbs, when I'm around men like Rudy Smith, when I'm around men like Joe Arthur, when I'm around these men that have sort of cut a trail by just being faithful. Joe was talking about that last night, about wearing that path out, going back and forth when things don't seem like they're happening and things don't seem like they're going our way, just being faithful. And sometimes we're all about this because this is the way we're geared. We always want to see the fantastic. You know, we're in a microwave age, you know. I guess we're sort of beyond that, but we want everything just that away. We want to put a little water on it, pop it in the microwave for 30 seconds or more, and pop it out, and now you got a ready-made church, you got a ready-made preacher, you got a ready-made preacher's wife, you got a ready-made missions outfit. Listen, a couple of churches I went, we didn't have a missions program. And it took time and it took effort and just sticking with it. And I said all that to say this, that this is a big highlight for me. Anybody know where Coulomb, North Carolina's at? Well, you know, Coulomb is a little mill town down next to Moxville in the Davie County area. And that's where I'm from. And so for me to be standing up here this morning, it may not mean a whole lot to you. And you may say that when I get done too. But I can tell you it's a big thrill for me to be able to be here this morning, to be able to share the Word of God with you for just a moment. I want you to look with me in Luke chapter number 5. I've been deliberating and been trying to see what the Lord wanted us to do. I want to be helpful. That's what I want to be. I want to be an encourager. I want to be helpful. Sometimes we're not careful. We get this idea, well, if I preach good, you know, somebody might, they'll like it and all of that. Well, you know, sometimes you can preach real well and they don't like it. You know what I mean? There have been plenty of times I've been in church and the preacher did a good job and I sure didn't feel good after he got done. Somebody help me now. I didn't want to just get to the altar. I wanted to get under the altar, right? And there's been plenty of times like that. But I want to be helpful. But I also don't want to just keep going over and over the same things, but I really feel like this is what the Lord wants this morning. Look with me, Luke chapter 5. You don't have to stand. Let's just read it together, several verses here. I'll just read the first four verses, and then we'll try to build the thought. Notice with me now. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught, or a draught, ever how you want to say it. Well, let's read one more verse, could we? And Simon answering and said unto him, now, Peter's like some of us. He's a big mouth, isn't he? No, nobody ever raises their hand when you say, you a big mouth. Nobody wants to admit that. My wife was here. She would look at me and say, yes, anyhow. But moving right on. And learn us your Bible now. He said, Master, he said, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, as almost an afterthought, but because you said to, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now listen to me. We'd like to imagine, if that were us, that when we said that, we really meant that sincerely. But when I read that, I don't read that and think, boy, Simon is really being spiritual. He does it. But don't you know, because he is a fisherman, don't you know he's thinking, Lord, ain't nothing going to happen. I've been watching this. I know everything about this lake. I know the good spots. I know what you need to do. I've got the right equipment. And Lord, but because you said it, Lord, you're my master, I'll do it anyhow. And I thought about that. And I just want to give you some simple little thoughts. Again, it ain't anything you hadn't heard, but you need to hear it again. And better than that, you need to get a hold of it and let it get a hold of you. Amen. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says that they toiled all the night and they'd taken nothing. Here's what I want you to see tonight, or this morning. What to do when you come up empty. Now, here's what I want you to see in the context of the Scripture. Here's these guys, they've been out there. I don't know if they've been out there 2 hours. You know, Peter, again, he's probably like most of us, evangelistically speaking, he's been out there 2 hours straight. But maybe he had. Maybe they did fish all night. And here, can't you see them in that little ship, in that boat? Here they are, they're working, you know, they're letting it down. They're pulling it up, they're letting it down. They're moving a little. If you've ever been with a bass fisherman, if you've ever really fished with somebody that really knows what they're doing, they don't spend much time in the same spot. They throw it in, they reel it back, they throw it in, they reel it back, and they moving on. I fished with a guy up in Stokesdale. He used to be in the church up there where I pastored in Walnut Cove. And anyhow, that's the way he was. We'd run 70 miles an hour, 20 miles across some great big lake like Bugs Island or somewhere like that, and we'd fish a minute, and we'd fish just a little while. I'm talking about just work a little bank up one side, out on a point. And but if they wasn't biting, I'm telling you what he'd do. He'd pull up the trolling motor. I'm telling you what he'd do, son. He'd run that thing in high gear and 70 miles across that lake, and we was in another spot 5 minutes later, and the same thing all day long. There are times in our lives when we're just like these men, and we're working and we're trying and we're practicing and we're doing and we're going out of our way and we're doing everything that we know to do, and that's exactly what these men are doing. And we feel that in our own lives, in this Christian life, and especially you pastors this morning. Can I get a witness? Amen. Without faith, this is what I want to see. The Bible says here, Jesus said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought. You see, without faith, it's impossible to please God. There is no way, no matter what you do, no matter how smart you are, no matter how talented you are, no matter how good looking you are. Oh, my friend, praise God. Listen, all those things, charisma and talent and all those things are good, well, and fine. And if you're smart and educated, well, praise the Lord for all of that. But I'm going to tell you something. There is no way to omit the element of faith. It doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter what kind of church you inherited, don't matter how many people you got. I promise you, friend, if you are operating and you are omitting the element of faith, there will come a time, there will come a day when everything that you're doing will come to naught and it will fail you. One of these days, I'll not be nearly as good looking as I am. I won't be able to rely on my charisma. You know, I'm one stroke away, one heart attack away from being, and God bless you, and I'm not making fun, from being an invalid. I mean, you know, that's the truth. Somebody would say I'm an invalid up above the shoulders. But anyhow, I'm just trying to tell you that sometimes we're relying on all these things. What does Jesus say? Jesus says to this crowd, that group that's there, he said, I know what you've been doing. He said, don't think for one second that I'm not aware. Go over into the book of Revelation. What does he tell those churches? I know what you're doing. I'm very keenly aware of what's going on. And here we are sometimes working, doing everything we know to do. And I want to say praise the Lord for effort. I believe everybody ought to be involved in the work of God, doing all that they can. Praise the Lord. But I want to tell you something this morning. What we've got to get a hold of is what I want to talk to you here about this morning. There's five quick little elements I want to give you that I see here in the scripture this morning that I believe will be a blessing to you. Notice here now, if we're going to put down our nets this morning. I'm talking about your net. You say, well, this is just a Wednesday morning service and we're in camp meeting. Did you realize if you'll let your net down this morning, God's just liable to do something for you. You liable to let it down one more time and, boy, come up with something that'll change your life. I'm in China Grove, North Carolina, at the Back to Bethel camp meeting, probably around 94 or 95, and Brother Daniel Buchanan came in there and preached one night on Hannah and a prayer of desperation. And can I tell you this morning that what God did for me all those many years ago, probably 20 plus years ago, I'm telling you, God's still working in my heart over it. I'm telling you, in those early days of my life, you say, what'd you do? I let down my net. I let down my net that night, and boy, God did something for me. I brought something up. I'd been trying, doing everything I know to do, but praise God, this could be the morning, honey, when you let down your net and God fills it up with something that you didn't expect to get. Hallelujah. I thought about this. Their faith is grounded in obedience to God's word. In other words, immerse yourself in the word. Immerse yourself in the word. Look at verse 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. You see, here's the thing that you and I need to get a hold of. God is not looking for you and I to have great faith. Oh, no. But childlike faith in a great God. Charles Spurgeon, I wrote this down. It is not great faith that saves. And that salvation lies not in the faith, but in the Christ in whom faith trusts. It is not the measure of faith, but the sincerity of faith. It does matter, praise God, who it is that you're trusting in this morning. I want to say to you, you and I can trust God. We can take him at his word. I promise you this morning, if you'll take God up on his promises and on the edicts of the word of God, I promise you this morning, God will not let you down. Hey, thank God. Launch out a little bit into the deep. Go out a little bit deeper. Faith, my friend, begins with small steps, but it blossoms into great blessings. We are sometimes built like we want to see everything right now. But may I say to you, yes, I wrote this morning in our devotion that sometimes we want a finished field and we want the harvest to come in, and we don't realize that he beckons unto us. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said the yoke, my friend, you see the finished field is the results, but can I tell you that the yoke is the relationship? When you get in the yoke with God and God starts doing things in your heart and he says, learn of me, let me show you some stuff. I'm telling you, after all these years, I'm still enjoying spending time with God in his word, spending time studying the Bible, letting God feed my soul, mining out some nuggets from time to time. It's amazing. And what you'll find when you let down your net, praise God. Amen. Oh, yes. You see, doing what you know leads into deeper waters and greener pastures and higher mountains. Many times God's commands require redundancy and repetition. But I want to say to you, don't despise those small days, because the details, those moments produce great blessings. It'll be those moments that you'll draw from. I remember as a young boy, a young man just newly saved, and there was a man in my community. His name, this is no lie, his name was Jack Daniels. And I'd go get in the woods with Jack Daniels. I know what y'all thinking. Me and him and my uncle, we'd go up into a little spot next to his house, and we'd go up there and pray. Those moments like that, just doing what you know to do, not knowing much of anything, and God feeding your soul, blessing your heart. I was working at the Skyline Mobile Home Factory in Mocksville when I was about 21 years old, and I'd just been saved, and I didn't know enough about nothing and don't know much now, but there's a little Methodist church about half a mile from where we were, and I'd go up there on my lunch break about 30 minutes, and I'd crawl out there in the woods, and there's an old stump out there. And I'd get out there praising God and worshiping God and spending time with God, honey. I'm telling you this morning, honey, you don't have to have great faith. If you'll just have faith in a great God, you know what you need to do? Let down your net, honey. Oh, let me say to you, number two, there was a faith that was given over and beyond what was expected. Immerse yourself in the work. Here's what I want you to see. You see, reliance on human effort had produced nothing for them. They kept coming up empty. You know what they say about the definition of insanity is you doing the same thing over and over and hoping to get a different result. Sometimes that's the way we are. Well, if I just show up, and I get it, going to church and reading, I get it. But you got to admit to me, there's times when you go to church, you just know, boy, God's just liable to do something today. I mean, I can't explain it. I can't quantify all of that. I just know it's true. I thought about that woman in 2 Kings chapter number 4. Here's what I want you to see. You see, she's her husband's dead. She's upside down in all of her loans. And they're getting ready to take her sons away and make them indentured servants. I mean, she ain't got nothing left. And so what are they going to do? So what does she do? She runs to the man of God. That's a good thing. You know what he told her? He asked her a question. What hast thou? You know what he did? I love this. I wrote this down. I probably read it somewhere. You know what the Lord did for her? He did the same thing. What the man of God tells her is the same thing that Jesus tells his disciples. In other words, just go ahead and do it anyhow. I like this. The Lord used the instrument of their employment to become the instrument of his exaltation. Let me read that again. The Lord used the instrument of their employment to become the instrument of his exaltation. Preacher, what are you talking about? Listen, they didn't need new nets. That's the way we think. Well, if we, and again, I'm not fussing about new methods, new ideas, things that people do, but sometimes we're imagining, well, if we can just get maybe a few newer songs, and I'm for new songs, and if we can just get a few, if we can just rearrange our sanctuary a little bit, it'd just be a little more, you know, friendly, a little more user-friendly, and people will like that. I'm going to tell you what we need more of. We need more of what that choir was singing about last night. Someday, someday, we'll leave it all behind. So, hey, thank God. Listen to me, friend. I'm telling you, one of these days, praise God, a God is getting ready to come for his youngins. I'm saying to you, we don't need to revamp, rejuvenate, refresh, and revitalize anything. Praise God, we just need to stay with what got us here. Old-fashioned preaching, old-fashioned praying, old-fashioned praising the Lord. It still gets the job done. Hey, just do what he says, praise God, and God's just liable to unleash and unfurl heaven for you. Amen. Amen. I'm talking about letting down. Here's the thing. I got to hurry. I'm about done. I ain't got my 5 more points. Watch this. I'm afraid sometimes that we're taking and we're looking at each other and imagining that, well, because he does it this way or that way, I got to do it that way. I found this out. First 10 years of my ministry, I was trying to be Joe Arthur and this one and that one and another. I just need to be me. Let God use you. Let me just give them to you. Not only that, immerse yourself in the wonder or the witness. Verse number 7, express the desire to fellowship and share with others. They say, come over here and help us. We can't do it by ourselves. That's good. Their faith was guided into examination and worship. Let me say to you, real faith, true faith always produces worship. Always. And that's what we need. You know what to make a difference in your church? You go to worship. Go to worship. Finally, their faith was geared toward forsaking and falling. Verse 11, immerse yourself in walking. You see, what God's doing in our lives, God's wanting to show you and I that we can't do it. But he can do anything. And God wants to do it with you. Why don't you let down your net this morning? Why don't you let God fill your net this morning? I remember when I was, we would go to the Yadkin River down to the Bull Hole. And then a certain time of year, we'd take a seine down there. Anybody know what a fishing seine is? We'd take a seine down there, and we'd seine them old shad. And I don't know why we'd do this, but we'd grab them shad, bite their heads off, and throw them back down into the river. I don't know why we'd do that. But we'd seine those shad, and you know what we'd do? It's a great catfishing hole. We'd take them things down. Oh, man, I'm talking about you let that seine down, honey. And I'm talking about just be full of fish, a multitude. I promise you this morning, if you'll do things God's way and you'll do what God says, God'll fill your net up this week, next week. God'll do something in this camp meeting that you'll never get over. You can have it just like me back to Bethel Camp Meeting, China Grove in 1994, 5 or 6, whenever it was, that you'll never get over. These babies, young people running around underneath this arbor and this tabernacle. And I promise you this, if you'll just let God, you don't have to wait till you're 25 or 30. God could do something for you right now. But you're going to have to do it God's way. Quit arguing with God. And just let your net down. Look what God's going to do. God bless you. I sure am glad to be here in Taylorsville this morning. Aren't you? Lord God, thank you this morning for your good blessings. I pray, God, that you continue to work here in this good camp meeting. And the man of God that will come in a little bit. Bless every family, every person that will be here this week in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
That's good. Miss Penny, you come around. And she's going to sing a song. Then I think Jordan and Miss Sandy and Miss Penny's going to sing one. Then Miss Sandy, I'll have you sing one before we have our next message.